What a show we've got today. Hope you're having a great day. Chris Berman coming on at 25 past the hour to go into the matchups, which I think is the best weekend of football of the season. The Super Bowl, most people would agree, is usually a bit of a letdown, especially after the two-week delay. It's not the 50-day delay of college football, but even 2 weeks when teams are used to playing every week somehow seems to affect the caliber of the Super Bowl, although it's been less so more recently. But we're going to talk about the Indy Colts matchup against a team that may be a team of destiny again, the Patriots. We're going to talk about the Chicago Saints matchup as well with Jarrett Bell from USA Today and Chris Berman. And then we'll go to Luke Jensen on the Australian Open at the end of the show to get an update from way down under. Here's a quote from Jim Beattie about the Barry Bonds and J.D. Drew situation, particularly how teams are being a little bit more savvy given that they're not sure the situations of their players.
That's yet to be seen, but they don't want to be stuck if he cannot play because of all of the outside things going on. Now, J.D. Drew is a little different because he had agreed to a contract, and I think primarily it was pretty much done. He then came in for a physical, and the physical did not please the Red Sox, gave them a little more information, and so they are now trying to structure a contract with J.D. Drew that says you've had some past problems. If those past problems don't play out as well as you're telling us, we also don't want to be on the on the paycheck for a guaranteed part of that. If you have a new problem, certainly, and you're playing, and it's because of your playing now, we'll guarantee the money. But if he had shoulder surgery on his right shoulder that is probably still balky, the Red Sox are balking at the idea of guaranteeing the money because of that right now. And whenever you try to put legal language together with medical language, it's a very gray area, so it takes a long time, but it already has been a long time. And J.D.
That's Jim Beattie, our baseball correspondent on Head Games. Coming up, Jarrett Bell from USA Today on the Indy Colts and Patriots matchup. How much is it about Peyton Manning and whether he can overcome the demons? I think he's ready to do that. How much is it more about Bob Sanders and the magic that he's bringing to that Indy Colts defense? That's why I think they have a chance. And then we'll go to Chris Berman, the Boomer, the best announcer in sport today. We'll be right back on Head Games on Sports Byline and Sirius Channel 122. Stay with us.
Are you a sports trivia fanatic? Why not turn your sports addiction into a career? Former Sports Byline host David Brody, president of Broadcaster Marketing Services, is ready to help you launch an exciting career as a professional sportscaster. Let BMS teach you how to break into the business. BMS will produce your demo, create your resume, and guide you along as you enter the most thrilling profession known to man. Call BMS at 205-979-4577. Visit us on the web at sportsbroadcastingcoach.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468.
Petroni Vineyards produces the world's finest gold medal estate wines, prized by wine connoisseurs and enthusiasts. Experience Petroni Vineyards Paggio alla Pietra with its rich, seductive flavors. And Petroni Vineyards Tuscan-style extra virgin olive oil is prized by gourmets to create sumptuous recipes. To enjoy these culinary delights, visit PetroniVineyards.com and become a wine club member today. PetroniVineyards.com. In today's active world, everyone is turning to exercise and sports to stay young and keep in shape. Both activities can be painful. And what about the aches and pains of arthritis and tendinitis as we age? Now, there's an over-the-counter product with active ingredients that can help relieve pain quickly. It's called Blue Goo. Blue Goo is loaded with emu oil, MSM, eucalyptus oil, glucosamine, chondroitin, and other healthful ingredients that give you lasting pain relief. Whether it's muscle strains and sprains, tendinitis, headaches, back and neck aches, arthritis, or joint pain relief, Blue Goo Pain Relief Gel is for you. It's fast, effective, and affordable. Blue Goo, the real pain reliever, is available in the analgesic department. Or ask your pharmacist for Blue Goo Pain Relief Gel. Accept no substitutes. Make sure it's Blue Goo, the only name to trust in pain relief. Let Blue Goo Pain Relief Gel work for you. Blue Goo, if you have a problem or pain, we have a solution. Blue Goo.
This is Nick Lowry, and I'm here to tell you about HeadGamesRadio.com, the official website of Head Games Radio. If you can't listen to the show every day, just go to HeadGamesRadio.com and join the Head Games team. You get to listen to Head Games highlights from our superstar guests. As a member, you'll be entitled to exclusive offers and information, so register with us so we can send you updates and special giveaways that non-members just can't get. Stay tuned. Check out HeadGamesRadio.com. Email us and join the Head Games family.
It takes the same thing to get to the Super Bowl and win that it takes to get there and lose. You know, it's not the NBA where you got a 7-game series once you get in that in the final. You got to get it done that day.
And now back to Head Games Radio with Nick Lowry. Join the conversation now by calling 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529.
Welcome back. Jared Bell, my man, how are you?
Good, Nick. What's going on, buddy?
I just think that football is experiencing in the NFL the best season it's ever had because it is like Russian roulette. Somebody's going to get a bullet every week. Somebody's going to surprise somebody. The level of parity doesn't express it because it's competitiveness. It's excitement. We had four great games last week. Tell me about this game this week between the Colts and the Patriots.
Well, I mean, it's like here we go again, and I think it's just so fitting that if Indianapolis is going to get to a Super Bowl and Peyton Manning and Tony Dungy and Bill Polian and the whole crew there, if they're going to get there, they got to get past New England one more time. And obviously they didn't do it in the playoffs in the past, but they've beaten them in the past two regular season games, and I think that's given the Colts a little bit of confidence. And then obviously the big difference this time in the playoffs is that they get the game at the RCA Dome, Nick. So last year, just when we thought everything, the table was set for the Colts to go to the Super Bowl, it really wasn't. And I think some of that had to do with the death of Tony Dungy's son. Nobody wants to admit that, but you talk about kind of the rhythm of the season and everything, and that just had to have a tremendous impact on where they were at that time. But all that said, now they're right back, and the table is set again for them, even though a month ago we would not have expected them to be hosting the AFC Championship game at the RCA Dome.
You know, last year, that miracle season, at least the miracle beginning, was stolen from them with that unfortunate, tragic suicide. And Tony handled it as well as any human being I've ever witnessed in that, in any kind of situation. Not that anything can compare to that. But
yeah,
this year... That's not bothering them, and I believe that will make a huge difference in the level of intensity. You're seeing it now with that defense, and I want to talk about that in a second. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I think the thing that took the season away from them, well, the magical part of the season, was Sean Merriman and the Chargers. Remember, they beat them, but that was a few days before. But I know what you're saying in terms of going all the way and winning a Super Bowl. Once that happened, you know, all bets were off with that team. But, I asked Dungy about this a couple weeks ago. I said, do you think your guys were just a bit bored by the regular season? And once the playoffs started, and we're really talking about the defense.
They
stepped it up. And, you know, I asked Dwight Freeney about it, and he pretty much said, yeah, we know what the standard is. And, you know, I don't think that during the regular season they intentionally went into it not wanting to focus and, you know, be their best and all of that. But, you know, Nick, there's a different intensity level, like you said, for the playoffs. And for a team that's been to the playoffs, you know, 4 or 5 years in a row and not gotten over the hump, they knew that a new year really meant a new year, a new calendar year, new football year in terms of the playoffs for them. And I think that's kind of what we're seeing in the way they've played.
We talk about all the time how Tom Brady finds a way to prove something, not to other people, but to himself. And I was saying a couple weeks ago that I knew he would be on a mission because of that Pro Bowl snub. He just is able to leverage his internal motivation, so it's independent of what other people say, and he's that for that reason so much more consistent. The other side of the coin is I think this Indy Colts team has a mission themselves after knowing that last year was thrown away. They're not as good a team as last year, but given Bob Sanders and his return and the way they're playing against, especially the run, they are a different mentality on defense. Here's Howie Long about Bob Sanders.
I think Bob Sanders coming back is important. I think there are a number of players in the NFL, a Ray Lewis, a Brian Dawkins, players like that, who will the people around them to elevate their level of play and their commitment. And I don't want to downplay his contributions or him coming back, but I think Seth will agree with me. I think the biggest problem the Indianapolis Colts had was, one, they were rushing the quarterback on every single play, and two, they didn't have the mindset of being interested in stopping the run.
What do you think about that?
I think that's part of it, but I think the thing he failed to mention in terms of what's happened with their defense now is that they are tackling so much better. And that's one of the things that Bob Sanders does well. He leads the Colts in the playoffs with 10 solo tackles. Cato Jones got more overall tackles. And, you know, the thing with them is that they don't want to get a lot of one-on-one matchups in the open field, because they'll lose a lot of those because they're a small defense. But they're also a quick defense. And when they were really, you know, rolling, when they really hit that stride last year where they didn't give up a lot of points, a lot of it was that they built the lead, and then once you're playing ahead, rush the passer, yeah, and, you know, use your speed in that regard. So that's part of their deal. But the other thing is that they have to swarm to the football, and when they're in that dome, they're able to do that, you know, much better. But of all the things that I think that are different now than what was happening earlier in the year, they're just tackling better. So even in the passing game, when a receiver catches the ball, he's not going anywhere. They're making sure tackles. And, I mean, you've seen that from some of the best teams in the league over the years. And I remember talking to Bill Belichick about it, you know, a couple years ago. You know, that's the key to good defense. And that's happening with Indianapolis. I know when I was there for that Kansas City game, I asked Ron Meeks after the game, how many missed tackles did he see? And obviously, at that time, he hadn't gone back and looked at the film, but he couldn't remember one, and I couldn't either. That's why I asked him. It's like, did I see one today? And so, when you get that, you can play a lot better defense.
And those would have been missed tackles against Larry Johnson, and a missed tackle against Larry Johnson is a 10 and 20 and 30 yard run.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Larry Johnson's usually going to make you miss some. And the thing, as I was watching it, I thought, well, maybe I missed a tackle, you know, at the line of scrimmage, you know, when everybody's all piled up and you can't really see between the legs and the arms and the butts and all that stuff. I thought maybe there might have been a missed tackle in there, but he didn't get much that day at all. And, you know, last week against Baltimore, I think there were some missed tackles, but nothing that really killed him. I think maybe Jamal Lewis broke out on an 18-yard run, but I'm kind of remembering it, and I remember seeing Jonathan Ogden out there, like, mauling somebody. That was one of the big mistakes for Baltimore last week, is they didn't really take advantage of Jonathan Ogden. Now, I know he was coming off the foot injury, but he was really handling Dwight Freeney, and I don't think that they exploited that enough. You know, they ran Jamal.
Do you think they've lost enough confidence? Jamal Lewis has not run so well, and so they've just lost that much confidence that they didn't give him a chance to see? Because some players will raise their game, and a Jamal Lewis is one of them that might have that potential.
Well, and Jonathan Ogden, the guy you're running behind, because, see, that can make you a better running back automatically. If you've got a guy like Jonathan Ogden in front of you just blowing everybody away, that's going to make you better. And, hey, one of the key matchups in this game this week is going to be Matt Light, the Patriots' left tackle, against Dwight Freeney. So Freeney had a great game against Kansas City. Then he got, you know, shut out last week in Baltimore. Really didn't have the same type of impact because going against J.O., against Jonathan Ogden. Now this week he goes against Matt Light. Now Matt Light last week was one of the unsung heroes in that victory at San Diego because Sean
Merriman
didn't get a sack. You know, he had some pressures and forced some bad throws. He got in there a few times, but he never got that clean sack shot on Tom Brady, and you can give Matt Light a lot of credit for that. Well, this week, now he's got Freeney, and he's got to deal with Freeney on turf, which is better than Freeney on grass, and then Freeney in the RCA Dome is better than Freeney somewhere else.
And Matt Light recovering that fumble was one of those crucial things that continues to make people believe that the Patriots have God on their side. When we come back, we're going to talk some more with Jarrett Bell. We'll be joined by the Boomer, Chris Berman, to talk more about this particular matchup, the Colts and the Patriots, and we'll move on to his insights into the other game, that other game, the Bears and the Saints, and maybe a little comment from both of you on the very real possibility that black coaches will finally be the champion, the Super Bowl champion. And like Doug Williams, when he won the Super Bowl as a quarterback, maybe we can stop talking about coaches as blackhead coaches. We'll be right back with Jarrett Bell and the Boomer, Chris Berman. Stay with us on Head Games on Sports Byline and Sirius Channel 122.
Sudden ups and downs, breathtaking twists and turns. No, it's not a roller coaster, it's the stock market. But it doesn't have to be a rough ride. Just subscribe to Barron's, America's premier financial weekly. Subscribe now and get 13 weeks of Barron's for only $39. Each fact-filled issue brings you investing insights, market information, and special reports you won't find anywhere else. Special reports that include the best-performing companies, mutual fund managers, and the outlook for stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. That's not all. Subscribe today and you'll also get Barron's Guide to Building Wealth, plus 4 weeks of Barron's online free with your paid subscription. All the tools you need to make smarter investment decisions. That's 13 weeks of Barron's plus the Guide to Building Wealth and 4 weeks of Barron's online, all for only $39. This offer is available to new subscribers in the continental U.S.
Call now, 800-828-2639. That's 800-828-2639.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There is a tremendous price war among the major term life companies, and you may be paying too much. Consider these possible rates. A man, age 45, non-tobacco user, issue preferred, $1 million of coverage, is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man, age 50, non-tobacco user, issue preferred, can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $113, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right. Guaranteed level rates for the next 20 years. If you're a smoker, there are great rates available for you as well. Termbusters specializes in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more. So call this number now for a free quote.
800-430-6715. 800-430-6715. Call 24/7. 800-430-6715. 800-430-6715.
How would you like to make a full-time income working from home? Now you can with the proven work-from-home system at homebiz47.com. That's homebiz, the number 47.com. Order your free work-at-home training package today. See how you could spend more time with your family and earn more income than you ever imagined.
Life is absolutely amazing now. I have a business that allows me to be a full-time stay-at-home mom. I can work from home and actually bring in a six-figure income. My husband will be retiring out of corporate America in a few short months at the age of 36 and be coming home to work with me full-time. And our daughter will have both parents at home, which is absolutely phenomenal.
Order your free work-at-home training package and free DVD by logging on to homebiz47.com. Shipping is not included. Change your life. Log on to HomeBiz, the number 47.com. That's HomeBiz47.com.
Head Games Radio with Nick Lowry.
Yes, I was fired. It happens to most coaches. Well, what are you going to do? Are you going to just lie there in the fetal position and whimper?
Welcome back with Jarrett Bell. Chris Berman coming on in a couple minutes. Jarrett, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the very real possibility that either Tony Dungy or Lovie Smith could be the first black head coach to win a Super Bowl. And to compare that with what it meant when Doug Williams, the sense of respect of his history itself, of legitimacy, Tell me what you think it will mean. Is it just one more thing, or is it truly a fundamental signpost to progress in the march towards equality in sports?
Well, I think it's a sign. I think the big sign, Nick, has been the fact that you've got the black coaches having the opportunity to do it. I talked to Doug Williams this week and did a little story on it, and Doug was so enlightened, and that's the thing he said is that, you know, you had seven coaches this year, black coaches in the NFL, head coaches, and, you know, two have been fired since then, but you had six last year, and, you know, you just know how this thing has evolved over the last, you know, half dozen, 10 years in terms of, you know, more black candidates getting interviewed and getting their chances. So I think, for the most part, that part is handled. Unless there's some big backslide or something like that, I think you'll see the coaches getting their opportunities. And one of the ways that they get opportunities is if you just look at why is Lovie Smith in this position. Well, Tony Dungy gave Lovie Smith his first NFL job back in 1996 when Dungy was at Tampa. You know, Lovie had coached on the college level and in the high school level too, and he got his first NFL job from Dungy. Now, years later, he's a head coach. He's got a chance to face him in a Super Bowl. You know, Herm Edwards was on that Tony Dungy staff back in Tampa, and then another guy who was on was hired by Dungy is Mike Tomlin, who's gotten rave reviews as a head coach of the future. He's a defensive coordinator with the Minnesota Vikings, and he's interviewed well, and people like him and think he's the type of guy that could step up into that position. So I think that's the main thing. Now, win a Super Bowl, what it means, I think it's a good footnote, and it's good because if it happens, whenever it happens, if it's this year, next year, whatever, it'll be good just because, like you said, you'll never have to say it again. You'll never have to say, oh, the first one to win the Super Bowl. Just like Doug Williams, you'll never have to say that if, you know, Michael Vick, and I don't think he's going to be winning a Super Bowl this year, but whoever, a black quarterback wins the Super Bowl, you don't have to say he's the first one because Doug Williams did it.
Here's Seth Joyner.
You know, in a situation where one of these, you know, African-American coaches has an opportunity to win, the only thing it does is legitimizes the fact, you know, and legitimizes the idea that, you know what, they can get the job done, they're just as qualified as anyone else to hold that position and take that team to the pinnacle of the NFL season, so to speak.
So let's look at who do you think between the two has the better chance, because we started out this year talking about the Bears in historical terms, as if that defense could be compared after only five games to the 1985 team that was so dominant, which I thought was ridiculous. But I've come to realize that there is a five, and Chris Berman will probably reiterate what he said earlier this year, which is there's a sort of a five-game window where suddenly players, Bob Costas talks about this, suddenly in five games, 5 weeks, five performances, you're suddenly a great player. Charles Barkley's talked about it as well. Suddenly you're a great player after only 1 year, after only even a third of the year. The reality is they had a great season. Their defense is not playing the way it was those first few games. What about Chicago as you compare their chances and Lovie Smith's chances versus Tony Dungy?
Yeah, I think if I had to pick one and say who's got the better chance, I would say Indianapolis. And one of the reasons, Nick, is because they got a great quarterback. Even though he hadn't played up to his normal standards in the playoffs, numbers-wise, Peyton Manning has done some really good things to help them win. Against Kansas City, I mean, he took what they gave him. He exploited the Chiefs' defense in the middle of the field, hit Dallas Clark a lot, hit Joseph Addai and Dominic Rhodes, and that's how he got it done. Against Baltimore, he called a lot of the running plays. And remember, Peyton Manning calls his own plays, so when you say that the Colts have been running better, part of that is Peyton Manning calling that right play, that right run at the right time. And then when he had to make a throw, he made the third down throw to Dallas Clark. So let me just say that about Peyton Manning. If you go into a big game and it's Peyton Manning versus Rex Grossman, I'm going to take, you know, Peyton Manning. Now, defense can win for you, but I think Indianapolis also has the experience of having been there so many times on the doorstep that they've got to be able to draw something, you know, from that. And then the third reason why I'd say Indianapolis versus Chicago, if I had to pick between those, is that Chicago is going to have a real tough time with New Orleans. And not to say that Indianapolis won't with New England, because we know what the Patriots are all about, but you know, Chicago's going to have to score some points on Sunday in order to advance.
Here's Howie Long from yesterday's show talking about Doug Williams and what his performance back with the Redskins meant.
Doug Williams championing that team of the Washington Redskins, it kind of no longer became an issue, and whatever anyone's perception was or opinion was, it just didn't factor in anymore.
It didn't factor in, and we hear this. Howie, we'll get to his quote a little later when Chris joins us. Howie says, it just back in the day, you would always hear black quarterback, but you don't hear that anymore, do you?
Yeah, but see, let me tell you how it factored in. And Howie Long, with all due respect, might not be the one to really speak about the impact of it, okay? Because the impact is the kid in Detroit, Michigan, who is playing football in 1988, and his coaches are saying, well, you should be a safety or a running back, and I want to play quarterback. And you can point to Doug Williams and say, it can be done. I mean, if you talk to, you know, black quarterbacks from back in the day, even before Doug Williams, you talk to James Harris, you know, he'll tell you that he went to Grambling because some of the other schools that recruited him wouldn't let him play quarterback. So, yeah, you don't hear about those stories as much as you do, but I think when you have role models, that helps you aspire to be able to do what you want to do. So, yeah, maybe in a broader sense, you don't think about it as much, but I think if you really streamline it down to the individual who is determining which path he's going to try to go, if he wants to become a coach, if he wants to become a GM, if he wants to be a quarterback, if he's got a guy out there that, and those doors have been broken down and the role model's there, I think that can help inspire him or her.
Well, I guess what I'm going to, or her, what I think I'm going to make the distinction then is the difference between those perceived barriers and when you have, frankly, a very balanced, very popular white announcer who notices the difference. Here's one last quote from Howie.
I think now when we talk about quarterbacks in the NFL, we talk about how they play, what their production is. We don't talk about them, at least I don't view that as being a topic of discussion. I've certainly never looked at Tony Dungy and said he needs to be validated by winning a Super Bowl. I think what it does is it's historical, and I think it allows, I think, an entire NFL community to turn the page, and for the better. It'll be great.
Speaking of turning the page, in addition to Jared Bell, the best writer for USA Today, we also have Larry Weisman, so I'll say one of the two best. We're joined by the Boomer.
Don't get Larry mad at me, because Larry listens to your show, okay?
Yeah. Larry's awesome. We love you, Larry. We love you, buddy. Chris Berman, the best. Forget it. You are my favorite guy, buddy. How are you?
Well, just because we're Ivy Leaguers. Hi, Nick. How are you?
Just because we're Ivy League, we don't know anything. We've got an Ivy League education, which qualifies us for nothing.
Well, we can count by threes, at least you can, with the field goal department. Me, you know, I have to do the old abacus and figure things out. And Happy New Year to everybody.
Happy New Year. Well, tell us your perspective on this when we were talking about Doug Williams and what it meant as a focal point, especially with Martin Luther King's birthday on Monday. We've been talking about the matchups, but what about the fundamental messages society gives when somebody like a Tony Dungy or a Lovie Smith, if they're able, wins a Super Bowl?
Well, you know, Tony Dungy is a great friend, and so, Nick, to be honest with you, until it was Martin Luther King Day and somebody pointed it out to me, I didn't really think of it. But then again, and I don't want to sound, oh, well, what are you, you know, head in the, you know, I'm a child of the 60s and 70s, and I had to be reminded, I never looked at Warren Moon as a black quarterback. I looked at him as a quarterback that played in Canada that I followed, and followed winning the Rose Bowl, and I say this because there we are at Canton, and I went to his celebration. Warren and I are pretty good friends, as I'm sure you are too. And then Doug Williams was there, and Marlon Briscoe came over and introduced himself. And there was a fellow that I had watched, actually, said, one of the games you started was at Shea Stadium against the Jets. He goes, how do you know? I said, because I was in the upper deck. And then there was James Harris, and then it said, oh, yeah, that's right, Warren, black quarterback, Hall of Fame. So I hope that many people, and I didn't catch the earlier part of the show, weren't really cognizant of the fact that, well, Lovie Smith, Tony Dungy, this could be. I look at them as especially Coach Dungy, who's been at it a long time, as an outstanding football coach. Now, that being said, what is the message? The message is that maybe to an 8-year-old black or Asian or green or maybe white, it doesn't matter, 8-year-old boy or 10-year-old boy, I can do that. You know, so that's the good part of it, and that what we're pointing out is, boy, is that's not the normal path to success, and now they could be a Super Bowl or win the Super Bowl, and it's a different kick. So maybe it's inspiring to somebody who we'll hear about 40 years from now, and that way, I think it's great.
It's awesome. Hey, my friend, Jared Bell, we're going to let you go, but give us your pick. Give us your score for the Patriots-Colts game.
I'm going to go on a limb and say the Patriots win it like 31-17. The Colts win it 31-17. Did I say Patriots?
Okay.
I'm going to say Indianapolis gets it done this time, and I think Chicago will squeak by New Orleans, maybe 24-20.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us, Jared. We'll see you soon.
Okay, man.
Appreciate it. When we come back, more from Chris Berman, the Boomer, the Swami, the all-knowing one. And then we'll be joined by Luke Jensen on our Australian Open Down Under update on Sports Byline and Sirius Channel 122. Stay with us.
Smart business people know the difference between success and failure lies in the ability to grow. Being limited by your current facility adds up to lost productivity and even worse, lost revenue. You've looked at the price to build, but have you considered the cost of not building? With interest rates still attractive, now is the time to build that warehouse, manufacturing, or retail space you need. A pre-engineered steel building from General Steel will save you up to half the cost of a similar conventionally built structure, and it'll be erected in about half the time. From airplane hangars to riding arenas, gymnasiums, and churches. Expand quickly and save money.
Call the General right now for your free estimate. 800-965-1298, 800-965-1298. And learn about our $20,000 rebate offer. 800-965-1298, 800-965-1298, 800-965-1298.
Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468.
What would you do with the extra money if you didn't have a mortgage payment? Secure your retirement? Pay for college? Invest in real estate? Travel? Is your home paid for free and clear? Or do you have a 30, 40, or even 50-year mortgage? Or worse, are you making interest-only payments with no reduction on the debt? If so, you're on a treadmill going nowhere fast. At United First Financial, we have great news. Our average client will pay off their 30-year mortgage in as little as 8 to 11 years, potentially saving thousands in interest. You don't need to refinance your existing mortgage. You don't need to make more money, and there's no need to alter your current lifestyle. Our Money Merge account can help you own your home years sooner, wipe out your debts, and have real financial independence. Our program works with fixed rate, interest only, and even NEGAM loans. This is not a bi-weekly mortgage program or a debt roll-down plan. Again, no refinance of your mortgage is needed. To receive our free DVD, please call 800-300-1096. That's 800-300-1096.
Keep the adventure in your travels, not your drinking water. Go ahead, take the road less traveled, because now you can have purified drinking water anytime, anywhere, just by packing a simple 8-ounce tool. SteriPen is compact, chemical-free, and kills over 99.99% of all unhealthy organisms in your drinking water within seconds. SteriPen is simple to use, so you can enjoy the journey and the drinking water. Available at REI stores everywhere, or go to REI.com. SteriPen, safe drinking water anywhere.
There's 95 guys or 97 doing the right thing the right way and two or three jerks. So two or three jerks get 97% of the attention.
Join Head Games Radio. Call 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529. And now, here's your host, Nick Lowry.
You got a question for Chris Berman, 800-878-PLAY, 800-878-7529. That was Jerry Kramer talking about those two or three jerks. Chris, as you look back on the year with all the incredible, I consider this the best NFL season I've watched because it's been so unpredictable. The caliber of the games has been so amazing, and every different week has been a new chapter. Who have been the two or three jerks in the season that have marred an otherwise perfect year?
Oh, you want to bring me on and talk bad? Why?
Because you're always so positive.
Well, we turn our head to Dallas, of course, where a lot of the stuff coming out of there doesn't need to be about one receiver. I mean, they had a very interesting season, but yet it was always, well, is the ball going here enough, or et cetera, et cetera. So obviously, that, you know, we could use a little less of
I agree with you there.
Of 81 in Dallas. Go ahead, give me.
Well, let me get you off the seat here. Let's talk about the Marty Schottenheimer AJ. Okay, how about the Marty Schottenheimer AJ Smith thing, where at least it looks like Marty's been given another year, but it came very close. And I talked to Len Dawson about this, extremely close, because the Spanos were saying we have to go deep in the playoffs, and Marty was the best coach I ever played for. They made some stupid mistakes. Here's Howie Long, and maybe this will get us on a more positive note.
You know, I know the relationship there with him and the general manager is strained at best, but I think it's hard to let go of a 14-2. I think what you saw was you saw a New England Patriots team, and I think a microcosm of who the Patriots are is the Troy Brown play, you know. And I think this is a San Diego team that just got there for the first time, and it's a learning experience.
Don't you think that with one more year, maybe it is indeed what Philip Rivers needed, the San Diego team will get over, and Marty can stop having to worry about that negative jinx?
Well, my goodness, Nick, they certainly have a wonderful team. I mean, nobody wins 10 games in a row, you know, from late October into the playoffs. Nobody does that. Yes, the answer is, look, LaDainian Tomlinson, I mean, he was special several years ago before a lot of people knew it, and boy, we all know it now. Phillip Rivers played okay in the playoffs. I mean, the defense, that front seven, New England's plan wasn't to stop running. They just said, uh-oh, we can't run. We better try something else. So the answer is, look, it is high. I agree with Howie. I mean, if you'd ask me that, I mean, how do you fire 14-2? I do know the background, and it's, we have a Super Bowl caliber team, but we can't get over this hump. What, 14-2 was not 11-5 on a team we think is great and won the West and then lost. So I understand why, you know, Marty's still there. He should be. Marty's a credit to the guy, 200 wins, et cetera. I mean, you know him better than I do. You played for him. He worked with us a couple of years. I got to know him a little better, you know, because he was sitting with us every Sunday. So, but that being said, you know, now sometimes San Diego, and you know this, Nick, the teams that had, like, last year's Colts, 13-0, you know, but yet didn't even make it to the championship game. The Pittsburgh, when the Ben was a rookie, 15-1, beaten by New England in the championship game. Sometimes you come back at 12-4, just to pick a number, and are more grizzled and more hardened, and have are better off in January than you were when you were 15-1 and 14-2, and that's probably the boat San Diego will fall in.
Yeah, and I think that certainly the second version of that, the second year, is the Indianapolis Colts. They had last year and the playoffs stolen from them because of the distraction and the heartache and the tragedy of the suicide of Tony's son. And I think under all of this is the motivation to right that ship, to recorrect and rescore their direction. And this year is the year for them to do that.
Well, they're also, I agree, although we shouldn't forget, Nick, although in the playoffs, you know, they came in as the third seed, they had played about 500 ball from middle of November on, et cetera, et cetera. They were the last team to lose a game at 9-0. I mean, they were the last one. So we forget that, because the games they're winning were by 7, by 4, by 3, by 1. That may serve them better, Nick, this year, the way that they've had to not so much look. Peyton Manning, I'm not worried about, it's a close game. I'm worried about him getting nervous. No, I'm not worried about that. But when you win a bunch of games 40-14, for example, you're not managing, you're not doing certain things in the fourth quarter that you might be if every game is 7 or 4 or 2 or 1. And you saw them manage the clock in the Ravens game, you know, from 17 minutes left, even though they were up by like 6 or 3 or whatever it was. So this on paper isn't as good a Colts team, but maybe better equipped to finally take it all the way. Plus, I mean, the unspeakable last year, I don't even know where you put that on a scale. Pretty high.
Yep. Well, we're joined by a guy who's going to talk to us in a few minutes about the Australian Open, but I thought because his father played for the Giants, because he loves football, because he's the Ronnie Lott of tennis. Luke, when you listen to this story, the psychology, which we talk about all the time with you, sometimes the player that's had it all, that's won every single thing but can't quite make it to the top and has that 15-1 season, but the one thing does not take him over the top to the championship. Sometimes, give us an example of where that can actually bode well. Like the Colts this year, I think, are hungrier in the playoffs than they were last year.
I think they rely on their experience. I think any athlete, when they're in the crunch and they're still having to achieve one more step, in the, whether it's the media, whether it's the fans, they have something to prove. And it's every practice. It consumes you in every part of your life that your dream to be the best, to hold that trophy, to wear that ring for the rest of your life, that consumes you until you get there. And that's exactly what Peyton Manning feels every single day until he gets there.
Let's talk about that, Chris. The Peyton Manning against Brady, it just seems, of course, he's had 325 yards a game the last two times. They've won both games. But the memory of those losses in the playoffs, how much does that play? How much do you think that will play this time around?
It's played. I mean, he thinks about it every day. I think we're right. I mean, Peyton is in the thing to win. I mean, he's going to have all the records when he retires. But the record that he wants is a trophy above his head, at least one, and we'll worry about more than one after that. So how much will it, when he goes to the huddle and he sees Teddy Bruschi or Mike Vrabel, you know, familiar faces from the 03 and 04 games, will he process, I'm getting set up again by these Patriots? No, I don't think in that way, Nick, but I think in his preparation, he'll think about some of the type of moves and how late they make him on him with 8 seconds left on the clock, and here comes the double shift back there. I think that all goes into his think tank, which is pretty deep. Now, again, he's not with his chin on his knee, but he's cognizant of, my God, I know I have to think harder than I've ever thought 60 minutes worth, and that's not, I haven't even talked about taking a snap and running and throwing yet. So that much goes in. The fear of failure, I think it's someone at Peyton's caliber, the want to prove, Luke points out, absolutely. The fear of failure, which sounds like redundancy department, but I don't think he's going to be out there shaking, though.
Okay, let's go to some specifics here. I believe that Deuce McAllister is going to be a major issue because of the lack of a Mike Brown and a Tom Harris there for the Bears. It's as if, and we said this before on the show, Mike Brown is in some ways the Bob Sanders of that Chicago defense. Without him, they're not the same.
He's such a great thinker. He's a guy that's always in a great spot. However, they have played whatever it is, Nick, 8-10 games without him. But absolutely, him and Tommy Harris are, well, it's like baseball up the middle. You know, I mean, your defense up the middle, if that's not good, you're going to be losing a lot of things. So, but there is a guy in the middle that's pretty darn good. And I look, if the Bears win, and Brian Urlacher is going to have one of those, I don't like to say Dick Butkus-type games, but there he is, Chicago. I mean, monsters of the Midway. You know, one of those 14-15 tackle games that goes down in lore at Soldier Field. So he's still sitting there. And for that reason, he knows that the middle of their defense is not what it was when they were rolling off 7-0. So I don't think that there's going to be a cakewalk up the middle of the way everybody thinks. I think Urlacher is in for a big, big, maybe legendary game. We'll see.
Well, before we let you go, my friend, and we really appreciate knowing how busy your schedule is, give us your picks for this weekend.
Well, you're a day early on the Swami, so I'm still, you know, I still got my witch's brew going here, Nick. I got them all right last week, at least with the, I tried all four road teams, so they didn't all win, but they all kept it close or won, if you know what I mean. So right now, and I've got to do a little more work on the NFC game, I'm leaning towards Chicago, although we haven't even talked about the Saints story and how wonderful. And by the way, They're an offensively wonderful team to watch with a quarterback that's great and who played in the Big Ten, so this isn't news to him, you know, this type of weather, Drew Brees. Right now, I'm leaning towards an Urlacher game like that, and if that's the case, then the Bears come out on top 4-5-6. But I got another 24 hours yet till the Swami, you know, really feels the magic carpet. Now, I picked New England from the start of the season, Nick, to play Philly in the Super Bowl, so there's that pick. I mean, they're alive. I can't say, well, they're going to get to the Super Bowl, but they're going to lose. I mean, so New England, do they have a chance to make the run and win 4 in 6 years like the famous Pittsburgh Steelers? It's incredible. Yes, they do.
And it's possible.
It is, but at the same point, don't you think at some point Peyton Manning and Tony Dungy are going to win one of these? And it's not for lack of trying, but my pick was New England in September, so there I am with that. So now we're looking for the fridge 20 years later in a Super Bowl rematch. At least that's what I'm thinking a day before the official Swamp.
Well, Swami, Boomer, Chris, we love you, buddy.
All right, Nick.
Thanks for
joining
us.
Happy New Year, okay?
Happy New Year to you.
I'm the last to wish you a Happy New Year.
Appreciate it, buddy.
I'll see you.
Thank you. Chris Berman, Luke Jetson, thanks for being so patient, buddy. What's going on down there? The women have been doing a little playing, haven't they?
That's right. Maria Sharapova is on tap for today. It's already Friday morning, almost 6 o'clock, and one of the things going into the first weekend of any slam is the players have gotten rid of the rust from the off season, the first couple rounds. We got a huge heavyweight fight with Roddick and Safin, two former Grand Slam champions, looking to regain Grand Slam form. It's really looking good down here in Melbourne, Australia.
Well, tell me, when you say shaking off the rust, Sharapova shook off the rust in about 10 pounds in the 120-degree heat. Is there any reason why they don't close the roof and make it a little bit more human?
Well, they're trying to keep it fair for everybody. Indoor tennis is completely different from outdoor tennis, and as soon as you close that roof, the dynamics change, just like playing outdoor football and kicking indoors. I mean, it's much nicer kicking that dome. The advantage when it goes indoors, the player with the big serve really gets that ball through. The elements don't play with the toss, doesn't play with the ball. So all of a sudden, the player that wants to be in the heat, in the wind, where it's ugly, they lose that tactical advantage, and now the big player with the big hitting strokes has the advantage. So the tournament tries to keep it as fair as possible. Well, you start with the roof open. Unless it rains, we're gonna play all the way through. Hey, the other opponent, Camille Penn, who had to play Sharapova, had to deal with the same conditions. So Sharapova didn't come in prepared for these types of conditions. You have to come in physically and mentally solid to win.
Is it possible to literally get more conditioned during the tournament itself, or is it too late?
No, yeah, a little bit, but you have to go in the situations. Roddick spent time in Hawaii, heat and humidity, a month before this all went down. He's prepared for this. Other players were in Europe where it's cold. Other players were in other parts of the globe where it wasn't as hot. You have to prepare a month out for that battle.
Who's your pick of the women's side?
Oh, I like Sharapova. I think she had a tough match. She'll win there. And on the men's side, it's Roger Federer. That's the easy pick. But, you know, look for a guy like Nadal, the number two seed. He's rough. There are a lot of rough players out there. The Australian Open on almost like 24 hours on ESPN and ESPN2. It's some great tennis.
Well, when we come back, let's get a little bit more from our friend from down under, IBM Advantage, Luke Jetson. Stay with us.
Sudden ups and downs, breathtaking twists and turns. No, it's not a roller coaster, it's the stock market. But it doesn't have to be a rough ride. Just subscribe to Barron's, America's premier financial weekly. Subscribe now and get 13 weeks of Barron's for only $39. Each fact-filled issue brings you investing insights, market information, and special reports you won't find anywhere else. Special reports that include the best-performing companies, mutual fund managers, and the outlook for stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. That's not all. Subscribe today and you'll also get Barron's Guide to Building Wealth, plus 4 weeks of Barron's Online free with your paid subscription. All the tools you need to make smarter investment decisions. That's 13 weeks of Barron's plus the Guide to Building Wealth and 4 weeks of Barron's Online, all for only $39. This offer is available to new subscribers in the continental U.S.
Call now, 800-828-2639. That's 800-828-2639.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic getaway? Well, how about 3 days and two nights in Las Vegas? And what about, you don't pay a dime for it? That's right, act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas's newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge, stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on Earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on, you know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call the special toll-free number, 866-50-GO-WIN. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 866-50-GO-WIN for all the exciting details. That's 866-50-GO-WIN. Call now.
Chances are, you're paying too much for life insurance. So why not make a free phone call right now that could save you up to 50%, maybe even more, on quality term life insurance from Matrix Direct Insurance Services. Whether you're buying life insurance for the first time or cutting back on the cost of an overpriced policy, one free call to Matrix Direct is the simple and affordable way to get the term life insurance you need. Call Matrix Direct today, because chances are you're paying too much for life insurance. Here's the number, 1-800-471-TERM. The call is free, the quote is free, and there's no obligation. Call Matrix Direct now, 1-800-471-TERM, 1-800-471-TERM. That's 1-800-471-TERM. Call now.
Welcome back to Head Games. We want to thank Jarrett Bell and Chris Boomer. Tell me, before we get to a little bit more comment on about tennis, what is it that's so special, Luke Jensen, about Chris Berman and about the way he portrays sports?
I think the first thing is passion. And you can go anywhere, at any sports bar, any place where, you know, the guys are sitting around, and you feel on the TV that you're hanging out with your buddy. And the Raiders and all these great nicknames that he comes out with, the Swami. You feel like you want to place a bet with the guy. Hey, you know, I think this team's going to win this weekend, and you put a little friendly wager on it. And I think that's the allure of Berman, that he's like your buddy sitting right next to you at the sports bar, and you're like watching the game with them. That's the cool part.
It's the reason we got in sports in the first place. Well, Jimmy Connors' mother just died tragically. He's not going to be there. He's talking on the phone every day to Andy Roddick. But what he's been focusing on is aggressiveness and service return. How is that progressing for Roddick?
It's doing pretty good. Remember, he spent the last, you know, I'd say 2.5 months since the U.S. Open working on just that, being more aggressive. It paid off in a small exhibition right before the Australian where he beat Andy Roddick. Now, it wasn't an official match, but you keep score. And when you keep score, hey, you play to win. He grabbed some confidence from that. He is attacking. The question that I have is, will he attack at the right times? In the first round, he was just attacking to attack. You have to pick your spots. You just can't bull rush the net. I think he's going to gain an experience the more Connors gets to see the field. This match coming up with Safin is going to be rough. They match each other in size and in speed. Safin's about 6'4", about 195. That's huge for a tennis player. That's the same with Roddick, 6'4", 195, maybe 200. Roddick has the edge with the serve. Safin's got the edge with the agility. So the X's and O's for Roddick, he's got to be smart in this next match. He's here to win the tournament, so he's got to take it step by step.
Well, can you take the step and get up at 5:15 to do our show tomorrow, buddy? Because you're too good not to check in on the best guy covering tennis in the world.
I'll hold for you, Nick. Anytime, baby. Laces out!
Laces out, baby. Thank you, Luke. We'll talk to you tomorrow, brother. Thanks for listening to Head Games Radio. Go to headgamesradio.com for all the highlights. We'll see you tomorrow.